I've worked with a lot of people when it comes to healing from the pain of infidelity, and I want to share some do's and don'ts that I've learned along the way. A lot of people have really good instincts on what it will take to heal and move forward. A lot of people have really bad instincts, and most people have a mix of the two. And I want to make this video to help you just have some clear options in front of you. Do this, don't do that. And this isn't just my advice. This is based on what I have seen actually help people over the years. So first, when it comes to understanding betrayal trauma, one thing I want to make sure that you absolutely do is understand that it is real trauma. A lot of people try to minimize it, especially initially. They say, we're having relationship problems. We're going through a rough patch. Or I'm going through a rough patch. I'm going through a rough breakup. I've been through breakups before. This is just like that. No, it's not. This is, in most cases, a traumatic experience, a genuinely traumatic experience. And whether you want to classify it as complex trauma or acute trauma or chronic trauma, it still is traumatic. There are similarities to PTSD. People have even come up with the term post-infidelity stress disorder because the commonalities are that similar. It's not an officially accepted term yet, but people do recognize it as trauma still. And here's why it matters. If you're not willing to admit to yourself the level of pain that this has caused, how do you think you're going to heal from it? How do you think you're going to move past it if you're not willing to even confront it and admit that it happened? So, on the other hand, don't minimize it. Don't pretend that everything is fine. Don't pretend that this is normal. Don't pretend that this level of grief, pain, anger, sadness, shame is just a normal part of life, or that it's something that you'll have to carry forever. It is the trauma. And there are ways to speed up that recovery. There are ways to cope with it. There are strategies you can use, but it is trauma. This is not a permanent part of your life. So do recognize that this is real traumatic pain, and don't minimize it. Don't pretend that everything is fine. Don't just treat this like a normal breakup or like a normal bump in the relationship, depending on whether you're trying to reconcile or not. As far as navigating the path forward, moving forward, taking the next step, do accept that this is now part of your story. Accept that this is, to some extent, who you are now. You are someone who has been cheated on. The affair is part of the story. The infidelity has happened. You can't just pretend that that didn't happen. So often I see people try to go back and reclaim a part of their life when this had never happened. And I understand it. You want to revert back to a time when this pain wasn't there. But continually going back won't work. The only way forward is through this pain. And so find ways to embrace that this is now part of your story. But don't confuse acceptance with approval. Don't act like this is something that happens to all couples. Don't act like this is something that you deserve. Don't act like this is something that you should almost expect. It is somewhat frequent because people are shitty and bad things happen, but it is not a normal part of loving relationships. Don't confuse the fact that you're accepting that something awful has happened to you to thinking that it is somehow normal. And do allow time to take its course. And what I mean by this isn't the mindset that so many people teach of, oh yeah, it's going to take years and years until you feel good again. That's nonsense. That can happen very, very quickly. As far as time taking its course, I mean with relationships. So if you are choosing to reconcile and work on the relationship together, expecting the relationship to be back to where it was before the infidelity occurred, before they started cheating on you, expecting that to happen instantaneously because you've chosen to forgive or however you want to think about it, is absurd. Like, that will take time. In the same way, if you choose to leave, expecting that your life will be put together immediately, that is insane. There is nothing you can do. It's like pushing back against the law of physics. Unless you have an obscene amount of wealth already saved up so you can go and reinvent yourself, rebuild your life immediately, that is a delusion. Whether it is the pain of a divorce, a messy divorce, figuring out how that's all going to work, figuring out where you're going to live, what you're going to do, etc. Or it's the pain of all the steps of rebuilding trust with your partner. Both paths are incredibly difficult. So do recognize that that will take time. Do take charge of your own healing journey, though. So just because the external processes take time, don't think that it's going to be just as long until you can be happy again, until you can begin feeling peace again. Don't try to control the other person. So especially if you are trying to work on it together, expect that you can control how the other person is going to feel or behave at any step is setting yourself up for failure. Throughout this whole thing, you need to learn how to have a self-directed perspective of the world, not one where you fall in line based on what other people are doing and how they're reacting, but you know yourself, what you value, what you believe, who you are. You're allowing other people to respond to that, and then you're making decisions accordingly. When it comes to rebuilding trust, one thing that you do need to understand is that trust is rebuilt through action, not just words. Conversations, yes, are a part of it, but people often forget that it is an entire picture. It's how that person makes you feel, how they act day in and day out that will make you feel trust. And this is important whether you are choosing to forgive and reconcile or just for future relationships. You need to understand what trust actually is. Otherwise, you will start to default to just not trusting anybody. So what does trust look like? Understand that trust looks like transparency about whereabouts, communication, activities. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily pouring it out all the time, but it means that when there's a natural overlap of where you would see into their life, that they're not putting up any shields, they're not putting up any defenses. Trust looks like willingness to answer difficult questions honestly. There's not gaslighting, there's not turning questions around, there's just a willingness to have an open conversation. Trust looks like proactive disclosures rather than reactive confessions. So if someone is only telling you the truth when they are caught or close to being caught and can feel that you're on the scent, that person is not trustworthy. But if they bring things to you that you would have never found on your own, that is an indication of trust. Another indication of trust is just that they are regularly checking in on you emotionally. So if you've been cheated on and your partner isn't checking in to see how you are managing day to day, if they're not asking questions about how can I reduce potential triggers so that I don't accidentally do something that would upset you, if they're not asking you about your boundaries and how they can ensure that they are living a trustworthy life now, then they likely are just going through the motions to make you temporarily happy without ever actually changing, and they're the exact type of person that will go on and cheat again. So don't rely on words alone to rebuild trust. Do practice brutal honesty delivered with compassion. What's required is the courage to sit with yourself and be honest about how you got into this spot, and to have the courage to speak honestly with your partner and to confront what exactly happened, what went wrong in the relationship. Yes, you can ask questions about the affair. I think it's unwise to get into the sexual details so that it's not filling your brain and giving you ammo for intrusive thoughts. That's a whole other topic. But what you need to do is get brutally honest about what went wrong in the relationship. So go back a few steps. People in good relationships where they're meeting each other needs, living happy lives together, rarely, if ever, cheat on one another. Something was wrong. Figure that out. Again, whether to fix this relationship or just to be aware in the future. When it comes to taking care of yourself, do prioritize your own healing journey. Everybody has emotional work they need to do. I feel like most people have a lot more subtle traumas and weird beliefs and all this stuff underneath the surface that they can work on. And if it's ever going to work, if there's infidelity in your relationship and it's going to work, or if future relationships are going to work, you need to process that trauma. You need to rebuild trust in your own perception. You need to decide what you need and what you want moving forward. And don't neglect self-care in the name of relationship repair. You can't support your partner. You can't be a good partner if you're completely emotionally depleted. That's just true in general. But you definitely are not going to be able to do the inner work and the communication work, the legal work sometimes necessary, if you're neglecting your own inner healing. For so many people, I've seen them genuinely struggle for 1, 2, 3 years because they have continually convinced themselves, I will work on my own shit once this is fixed. It doesn't work that way. You have to work on your own shit, and then you will have the strength to tackle all the difficult obstacles this has now created for you. Do establish practical self-care routines that include things like professional support, physical care, so think sleep, nutrition, movement, exercise, emotional outlets. So if some people just go to like therapy or life coaching or something like that and think that will take care of all of their emotional needs. But things like art, conversation with friends, a walk in a beautiful area, connecting with nature, slowing down, these things can't be replaced by just talking to someone. You need to create space for yourself. Spiritual practices are also important, whatever that means or looks like for you. And of course, part of self-care is establishing boundaries to protect yourself from things that would take away your peace. When it comes to getting support, I recommend to definitely do seek specialized support. A lot of people don't understand the intricacies that are involved in infidelity. And don't just rely on generic Instagram motivational phrases or generic relationship advice, because this is not anything, this is anything but generic. And so typical advice, typical perspectives on what it takes to work things out can be very different when it is a genuinely traumatic situation like this. Do commit to the process of healing. Perhaps the hardest truth about healing from infidelity is that it requires courage without certainty. And that's why it takes courage, because you don't know what path you will end up on. You don't know who will be on that path with you. Confronting it genuinely requires letting go, throwing your hands up, and saying, I'm committed to growth. I'm committed to healing. What will happen with the people? What will happen with the path? I don't know. And so don't expect perfection from yourself or from your partner. It's going to be, and current partner, future partner, whoever. The path isn't going to be perfect. There's going to be good moments, bad moments. You're going to move forward. You're going to move back a little bit. There are going to be days where old patterns pop up. And success in that moment isn't the naive expectation that old patterns would never reoccur. Success in that moment is that you'd be able to identify them as such and quickly tame that fire before it starts to spread. Do recognize and celebrate small victories. And don't give up hope that healing is possible. It's not easy, it's not guaranteed, it's not given for cheap, but it is possible. I've seen people emerge from such devastation where if you had seen them before, like happy, go-lucky, go-getter, determined people, and it seemed like they were just a shell of their former selves. And I've seen them reemerge and actually become stronger, better, and happier through the process. Because they didn't try to minimize their trauma. They didn't try to pretend that it wasn't a part of their story now. They embraced it, learned the lessons from it, healed from it, processed it, and they're doing great now. The path forward does exist. The question is whether you'll have the courage to take the first step, live that experience, see what the next step is, take that, and you never know what the full path is going to look like. You just know day by day, conversation by conversation, what to do next.